Raised Rowdy.
Hey guys, welcome to the Raised Rowdy podcast.
No.
Featuring me, Kurt Ozon.
Me, Nikki T.
And our special guest today is Keller Cox.
Keller.
What up?
Keller is coming back to us after, how long has it been since he's on the pod last?
Gosh, when was that? It was at the old house.
Was it 2022?
Yeah.
Fall of 2022.
2004?
Yeah, it was like Keller was 14 years old.
No,
yeah.
6 years old.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I'm so old.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, man.
It's always good to have you, Keller, and we need to catch up, so this is why you're back on the podcast.
Yeah, save it for the podcast.
Oh, yeah. Wait, now we're on the podcast,
I'm just going to start talking.
Yeah. if you guys don't know, we have all kinds of great conversations with our good friends like Keller whenever he's in town, but oftentimes there's fun stuff that you say and you don't want to talk about before.
So we say, save it for the podcast.
So Kurt and I hung out for probably 5 hours today, and everything I said, he just told me, save it for the pod. And now we're here, and now I can talk.
That's finally. Right. Actually, Keller and I had a sleepover party last night.
So good friends.
Keller was coming into Nashville from?
From Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Yes, and he's like, can I crash with you? I'm like, yes. But you left after the show and drove through the night. I was already in bed drunk because we went to that DJ party last night.
DJ Vavo.
So he just yelled, good night.
Yeah, I was like, good night, Keller. I have to sleep now. I'm full of tequila and beer. So,
God bless Sony and their free drinks. We love you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
We like get to do stuff that you don't normally get to do for free sometimes, and it's great.
Yeah, he was telling me about that.
Yeah.
There was like a disco version of Fast Car. It was
like, dude, okay, we're in Puerto Rico, and Sarah and I are walking down the street, and there is a like Puerto Rico like ukulele version of Fast Car playing.
Oh, I have a vague memory of that.
It was crazy. I looked at Sarah and I was like, "You hear what's happening right now?
What was that?
A lot of different versions of Fast Car out there.
It's a popular tune.
Yeah, it is popular, and then now it's popular on the internet.
It's like people want to take it to anywhere, you know?
Yeah. That's good, though. That's when you know you got a bona fide platinum smash.
I wish I had one of those.
I mean, you do. You played on a couple of bona fide platinum smashes.
I appreciate you saying that, Nick. That makes me feel better.
Yeah.
All right, so, Keller, let's catch up. What have you been doing since the last time we saw you?
Ta-da!
Lots of writing.
Yeah, that's good.
Which, crazy story. So I was listening. I think I listened back to the pod, which was weird, like a couple months ago.
It hurts to do sometimes,
it does
it?
Hurt a little bit. But I was pulling, Sarah and I were in the front yard pulling some weeds. Or something. Oh, no, I was putting up Christmas lights is what I was doing. And I had the pod in, and it was, I looked at my calendar to see what the day was, because I was like, on the pod, I was talking about a co-write that I had the next day. Believe it or not, the co-write I had the next day is the title track off the new album that's coming out in 2 weeks.
Oh, sick.
So it's pretty crazy full circle moment.
Yeah.
So a lot of co-writing since the pod, lots of co-writing, and then recording the new record.
Is that something that you just got into? Because I feel like people in Texas like are more solo writers. Is that a thing?
Yeah, there's not as many people in the same town that can drive 5 miles to get to each other and write songs.
Yeah, because I'm in College Station where the boys are good to me.
Yeah.
And then you're like in Houston.
Yeah.
I've got a problem.
Yeah. Texas is like as big as like most of America, you know?
It's bigger than the continental United States.
I don't know.
Have y'all
that.
Seen like Texas like put over like different states or something.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy, dude.
Hilarious.
There was one time I had a show in Lubbock and then had to drive to Houston the next day. It was like 8.5 hours.
Ugh.
It's crazy.
I don't really like driving 8.5 hours too much.
I like when the bus driver does it and I'm asleep. That's my favorite.
Yeah. I've only done that a few times, but it was great every time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I hadn't co-wrote much like in Texas. And I remember the first time I heard about co-writing, I was like, it's not for me. Like I was like, you know, like my pride of like, I don't want to, I want it to be my song. And I had a mentor that was kind of helping like manage me out or help manage me. And he's like, you need to die to that really quick. He's like, you need to write with other people. And so that was a good, like leading me on the right path, you know, to like steward me in that way, I guess, or you know, steward songwriting. And so anyways, started co-writing and it's been the best decision ever.
Yeah. It's like, it's one of those things where it's like, I mean, every time you hear someone else say something cool or like fix something in a song, you're like, oh, I could probably do something different next time. Or it just like expands your brain, in my opinion. I don't really do it, but it sounds like that.
Pat Metheny, who's a jazz guitar player, for those that don't know, always says, if you're the best player in the band, then you're in the wrong band.
Yeah.
You know, so there's something that is so inspiring being in a room with people that have different strengths than you. It's like you know, like going running, it's like, if I'm with someone that's faster than me, I'm going to run faster, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like, if you're writing with someone who's written more songs, you know, it's like, you're going to write better or write differently. So,
or look at it differently. And, then I've found like being in the room with people who are super talented and then going to other rooms and getting to like you start to change the way you approach songs and you can offer a piece of what they have. You're only as good as like, you know, the average of the top five people you hang around, that whole saying or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so who you're writing with, like, yeah, I know.
It's like me, Nick, I'm thinking who my top five are.
Colby.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Yeah. Jake, you know, that's not bad, I guess. Okay. I guess I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah. So the people you write with kind of, you start taking on different aspects of how they write songs. And, but it's been awesome. I've loved it, dude.
Who are you writing with these days? Do you have any favorite writers you want to shout out?
Yes. So, well, we're not writing together anymore. We kind of broke up. Oh, not really. No. They got major deals. And so anyways, they're very busy. But Cam Newby and Andrew Beeson.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been awesome. That we wrote like pretty much 7 of the 11 songs on Good Again, Amen. This is the new album. Just the three of us.
Nice.
And then the new group is Aniston Pate, Delaney Ramsdell, and John Decius. And that's been like the A-team squad. Like I every time we get together on that back porch of John's house, it's like just magic.
Hell yeah.
So that's been super fun. And just, you know, I mean, meeting people at rounds and just be like, hey, let's write, you know, kind of thing. Because mm-hmm. I have a publishing deal through Make Wake, which is super cool to say.
Congrats, man.
Helps pay the bills a little bit, you know, and just frees up me to be more creative, knowing that, like, man, this is my job. Like, every day I got to show up and try and, you know, keep my mind open to different ideas and stuff. But that's been super helpful. But also, it doesn't mean that, like, I can just sit there and look at my calendar and it's all filled up. I still need to go, like, pursue the rights.
Yeah.
And so, I've been to all, like, the outside the rounds when I'm in town and gotten a bunch of writes. Like, that's how I started writing with Aniston, who then introduced me to John. And then, so it's just stuff like that, you know.
This
I'm
town's
still,
great for that.
Still going out there, even though I have a publishing deal, and trying to chase down the people that don't have a publishing deal. Or maybe, you know, just want to be more experimental with songwriting, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's the coolest part about Nashville, like, in my opinion, is, like, people finding other people that have the same headspace, you know, especially, like, songwriting. Like, you'll find, like, troops of song, you know what I mean? They're, like, people that you write well with, or just, like, people that, like, understand who you are and who the thing that you want to help express, you know what I mean? And then it's good for you to help express that with them. I mean, and then as people rise, like Aniston's, you know, having some cool moments right now with their stuff on Idol.
I had no idea. I saw it on social media the other day, and I was
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
She's on American Idol.
She's American Idol. She is American Idol.
As a singer.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Well, good for
her. Aniston's great. She's young too, though, right?
I think so.
I think she's 21 young. Or something like that.
Damn kids.
Dude, she's great. And her and Will Mosley are both on Idol this year. Two kids that we absolutely I'm old, but yeah, two people that we absolutely love. So it's cool seeing that, like, get some, and they both got to play original songs when they came on, you know.
Oh,
which is such a power move.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. That's sick.
Yeah, it's sick. And it's like, it's one of those things where it's cool to see American Idol kind of changing too, because it's like, you know, when it started, it was like William Chung, and like they're kind of like making fun of the bad people, and like you couldn't say any originals, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
To now where it's like, okay, it probably doesn't have as many views as it used to have, but like you can get on there and you can sing an original song, and like, you know, they're taking things like that. So it's cool to see it just be a little bit of a springboard for some people that are, you know, in town that we've known for a little while and are doing things.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I think the co-writing thing, just to go back to that a little bit, it's really, I mean, you're getting some of the best stuff, absolutely, you know, that you're putting out. It's like the best stuff that you've had.
100%. Yeah, it's been that the songwriting has elevated from when it was just me and, you know, my thoughts. So I'm super stoked. And like, yes, I have a new record coming out, but I'm already like, the next one is halfway, like, you know, I've got like 25 songs already for it. And I want to get to like 40 or 50, you know, you want to keep writing. But those songs are arguably maybe better, you know. You don't want to say your new record's not good, but they're a different side of me, you know, and a more mature side of me already.
So, it always happens that way. It's like, yeah, we just finished the record and I just wrote the best song I've ever written.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I told someone this the other day. The crazy thing about like being a musician / singer-songwriter is like you're constantly living in the past, present, and future.
Yeah.
Because you're singing about yourself. Like I'm singing about Keller that was 2019 Keller. While I'm also promoting a Keller that was a year ago, because we recorded the album a year ago. And then I'm also trying to write a new album that's probably going to be a year and a half down the road. And then they want you to be present to the moment and enjoy the ride. And you're like, how in the world do you, when you're constantly living, you know, in all of these different spaces.
I've never thought about it that way. It's pretty cool.
Pretty nuts.
Yeah. That's why it's a full-time job.
And they're like, hey, you should live in the moment, Kirk.
That's why it ain't no hobby, buddy.
Yeah.
It's not a hobby. But yeah, that's I think that's been the hardest part, though, honestly, of the last year and a half is the like the mental health aspect of this thing of just like, especially being like a young, like I'm the lowest man on the totem pole. You know, I'm just getting started, graduated from college a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the calendar isn't booked. You know, it's like, we're trying to be strategic. We're trying to play shows that are like helping me, you know, if we want to take a risk, we want to be calculated in the risk that we take, you know, play shows that'll help me get exposure to then go on. And so there's all this time. And then on top of that, when the album was like a year long process, because we had pushbacks and I was growing vocally. And so we had to go back and recut stuff. And I remember some Monday mornings last year in 2023, yep. Some Monday mornings that were just like almost like on the floor, couldn't move, you know, just like, cause Sarah would go off to work her real job and I maybe had shows that weekend and it would just be almost paralyzing of just like sitting there being like, what am I doing? You know, like I've got a college degree from Texas A&M. I could be getting a check every 2 weeks and here I am just sitting here waiting for this thing that I hope will work out one day.
It's gotta be pretty frustrating.
And like I said, just like paralyzing too. And almost not even frustrated. It was almost just like this like deep, like I was like, man, I think I need to like the check engine light came on of the soul, you know, went like started doing counseling again and really trying to like, cause it was no way, you know, like,
yeah.
It was not the best thing. Actually text Cleto, reached out to some people who are like, hey, how do you stay sane in the midst of all of that, the craziness, you know? Mm-hmm. And Cleto had some super good advice, but it was a hard, dude, 2023 was a hard year.
Man, I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
I didn't even know you were going through that. It's crazy.
Yeah. It was a tough time. And you know, I try to like pray for like a word, you know, at the start of the year, we were talking about this a little bit.
Yeah.
Was it Live Oak? Yeah. We were talking a little bit. And my word for last year was enjoy the ride. And what I found out through like, you know, as I go through the year and process it and, you know, pray through it, like the ride, a lot of people think the ride is like the, wah, and they're going on the roller coaster. But the ride, like when I grew up, like going to like Houston Rodeo, the ride starts when you get in line, you know, and you're there and you realize, okay, I'm tall enough to ride the ride, but that's the ride is the waiting part, you know?
That's awesome.
And like, yeah. And I had to find that out of like, I am on the ride. Like this is the ride. Cause as soon as the roller coaster starts, you're probably going to, the waiting part is part of the ride, you know?
Yeah.
And so that was, I don't know, that was the hardest part of last year is like, enjoy the ride. That's a great word, dude. Let's do the loop-de-loops. Let's like, you know, and there I am just standing in line and like, okay, that's the ride.
Yeah. You're waiting for the ups and downs, but you're not even seated yet.
Right.
No, I think that's a big part of it too. Like just being in the music world and getting to see people come into town and getting to see people at all different stages. I mean, I don't see a lot of like the top stages, but most of the middle, you know, everybody's frustrated. Right? Everybody wants things to either work faster or they want them to work in a different way.
Always.
Yeah. So like, that's another thing of having friends in the industry is you'll realize that nothing's perfect. No one's thing is happening exactly how they thought it was going to.
Right.
And if it is, how long is it going to last before it stops being exactly perfect?
100%. You know? And come to find out, you know, there's always I believe there's always a bigger plan, you know, just with my faith and, you know, I believe nothing's like coincidental. Like I believe that like, you know, like God's got the best for me and he has a plan that's better than my plan, you know? And like, come to find out, I wanted to put the album out like summer of last year. And then all these pushbacks, like setbacks happen and stuff. And then all of a sudden I get asked to be on tour with the Castellos and the new album date happens to be in the middle of the tour. And it's like, oh man, there's a way better plan. Mm-hmm. You know, the bigger author, the great creator, you know, however you like, whatever you like to call it, you know, there is a bigger plan, you know? And it's like, if I would have released it last summer, it probably would have flopped. And maybe it does flop, you know, who knows? But I bet it's going to have a better chance of getting some traction in the middle of a big tour, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So anyways.
Daddy Garth again with the unanswered prayers, you know?
Yeah.
That's the second pod in a row I've said that.
No, but it's they call that whatever you want to call it, but I mean, realistically, you have a plan for what you think is going to happen and how you want it to go, but then you have to be willing to pivot and you have to be willing to wait and you have to be willing to change. You know? that's the process of marketing yourself, and that's the process of relationships and the whole thing, you right? know?
And even like going further down the rabbit hole, like in the middle of the waiting, another thing I found out was like, okay, I would listen to the songs, you know, because I had a whole year of this, like, you know, sitting with this album, and I'd put it away for a couple months, and I'd come back to it, and I'd be like, man, I really needed to hear that today, like the message of this album.
Yeah.
And I was like, it clicked for me one day. I was like, I don't know if I fully believe this yet and have fully applied it to my life, and I shouldn't put out something unless I fully believe what I'm putting out, you know?
Yeah.
And so that was another cool moment for me of like, maybe it was good that we pushed back this, because if I were to put this out and it hadn't fully done its work on me yet, then why would I expect it to, like, how can I get up on stage and say, hey, Kurt, this is what I believe in, and hopefully it resonates with you. But if I don't even believe in it yet, or fully, it hasn't like changed me, then why would I promote it? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I wouldn't say I'm fully there yet. We got two more weeks for me to, but you know, I definitely from 6 months ago am way better at what I was, you know, what I'm trying to promote myself as, or, you know, share through this album. So,
man, I think that's an important thing. One of the things that I talk about when I talk about you is like your conviction and your, you're very, very insightful for the age that you are, right? Which is awesome. And it's a breath of fresh air. I remember after the first pod we did, I was like, damn, that was awesome. So it's really good to see you also continuing to grow with that. And like understand yourself better too. You know what I mean?
I appreciate it, dude.
I think that's part of being an artist, is really knowing who you are, having people help you figure that out too. But like at the end of the day, it's really what you know in your heart about what you are and who you want to be and what you want to say.
Right. Yeah.
Which isn't an easy thing to do.
Never is. Never is.
No, and I think too, like, I mean, even this week, like being on the road for the first time has been like, everything that I like want to be and try to do as far as like routine goes and keeping up with like, you know, journal, like we talked about, like the morning, like that's gone out the window almost. It's like routine and stuff. And it's almost like trying to figure out how to still maintain those things that help me grow.
It's because so hard,
dude,
man.
Yeah, it's so hard. And I, like, have I been like practicing what I preach as far as like writing every day? No. Like, finally got to get, like, I wrote a little bit this morning, but it's been like so few and far between, and I've tried to come to grips with like, man, how do I keep trying to maintain the person I want to be, you know? Yeah. In the midst of just the busyness and the demands and
late nights and
yeah dude, I ate breakfast at 2 p.m. the other day at a Crackle Barrel, like Cracker Barrel. I said that wrong.
You said it right.
Crackle. I don't know. Yeah. Anyways, yeah, I mean, crack a barrel.
The touring definitely, if you're a person that likes routine, it's gone.
Yeah.
You know, there was a time where it's like, okay, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I'm doing this lift in the gym, and then on this day is my off day, and then you go on the road, and it's like, there's no gym, or it's a Planet Fitness, and you know, I can't get in the squat rack, you know, and it's like, or I'm used to going to bed at midnight, but it's like, we don't get off stage till 11, and then, you know, it's just all this crazy stuff happens, and it's hard to, like, really be consistent with, you know, you're practicing or you're working out or your diet,
right?
Or
it's like no man's land.
Or journaling, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm just like trying to get through this. And then you have like a 7 a.m. flight after playing out, you know.
Right.
So.
Dude, yeah, I was driving up to the first show this week. I was like white knuckling it. Like I blared AC/DC.
Hell yeah.
Had the windows down and like that. And then at one point had the AC like all the way cold just to like, you know, try and stay awake kind of thing.
I hate that.
Oh, it was horrible. It was horrible. But we're getting better.
Yeah. Because
McDonald's coffee and ice is good. Cup of ice just to overstimulate yourself.
Yeah.
Figuring it out, dude. Learning trial by fire.
Yeah, no doubt. I wanted to talk a little bit more about, you're talking about some advice that Coletta was giving you. Because I know, like, I follow Wyatt Flores and how he had to cancel some shows to deal with whatever he's dealing with his mental health. And so good for him for doing that. And I feel like we have a fair amount of artists that listen to this. So I think it might be kind of cool to share some stuff that you've done. Maybe that could help.
Dude, yeah, the one that was most surprising that I'd never thought of before, like he sent a couple, like, you know, obviously like journaling, like writing.
Claudio was like a Buddha or something. He's old and wise. You know, he's like a wise guy.
Yeah, no, I feel just honored to be able to shoot like my like hero, you know, and role model of songwriting, a text and be like, hey, how do you do this? You know, and he sent like sure enough, like sends back this giant, it's like a paragraph of
everything
things.
He writes is gold.
Yeah. Even you like could probably write a song about the text and just put it out, you know? But so writing was one of them, but the one that surprised me the most was like cold showers and like cold therapy. And I was like, cold showers. I was like, what do you mean cold showers? You know? And I like tried to take one and I was, dude, I was so like didn't want,
your
like
body
it was horrible.
Won't let you do it.
And I text him and I was like, hey man, like, do you just like full send it or whatever? And he just sends back one text. It says the warriors and animals go full in, like straight in or whatever, or something like that. And I was like, dang, or whatever. And he's like, no, you can kind of ease into it. Like he was just joking around, you know, being Cleto. And, anyways, so started like looking into like trying to like, all right, let me try this out, you know? And sure enough, like, I try to take cold showers like during the weekdays and it helps. It's like the mental aspect of like doing something hard, you know, and then got like that sends you down the rabbit hole of like cold plunging and that whole thing.
I have done that.
Which I like cold plunging, but cold showers, like I think they're probably harder than the plunge because the plunge, you just get to get in, and the cold shower, you're just standing there at the door and you're like, oh man, this is going to suck so bad, dude. And
it's brutal.
But it's been helpful. I mean, you know, I do the hard thing in the morning, early in the morning, you know, and even on tour, like trying to take cold showers on tour and you didn't get a lot of sleep. Well, that'll wake you up real quick, you know, getting in a cold shower. But that was super helpful for me of just like, you know, there's so many other like health benefits, but for me, it was the mental, like getting this right and doing something hard and being disciplined, you know, that whole thing.
I've heard of discipline.
Yeah. So in the midst of losing routine, I guess there's one thing. I guess you have to shower every day if you want to be clean and healthy and have hygiene.
And, you know, you're driving yourself around right now because you're on tour with the Castellos. Mm-hmm. You're opening direct support and you're playing acoustic by yourself.
Yeah.
And you're driving yourself. So, which is your buddy, you told me this when we were eating breakfast, sort of challenged you to do it sober, right?
Yeah.
So dude, that's got to be great for your mental health too.
No, it's been awesome, dude. I've sang the best I've ever sang. Plus, dude, when I drink carbonation, I like burp, you know? So if I like there's been times when I'm drinking a beer on stage and I'm like singing and like, yeah, exactly. Like burping in the microphone.
Yeah,
not a great sound, you know.
We got to do the co-whistle. Just drink the bottle of Jack Daniels.
Yeah, there's not carbonation.
Dude, that would be so
Jack
on
Jack
brand
Daniels
for me.
Yeah, so it would be very on brand for you for sure.
But anyways, yeah, dude, that's been awesome. Of just, you know, drinking water and hey, can I have a lime and a straw in the water, please? You know, because we play sips.
Yeah.
Now everyone's gonna know. When I play sips with everyone. Have we ever explained sips to the podcast?
No.
So it's really simple. Here, we might as well play right now. I say sips, you say sips, and we all just take a sip together. Sips.
Sips.
Sips. Mine's gone, but, you know.
I feel like I should tell the story behind sips.
It's usually
tell the story.
So we're at a family, like, Thanksgiving with my Uncle Shane, and we're sitting around the campfire, and my dad and him are talking about just growing up, you know, and stories of growing up, and they were like, my Uncle Shane was like, hey, Robert, do you remember like when we were kids and we were at like Green, Texas, the grits mill, and there was this guy that would play and he would always yell like, sips for tips. And they're like, you should do that at your shows or whatever. And I was like, well, I'm not going to ask for tips. Like you don't ask for tips. People like, you know,
yeah,
that's something you earn. But I started thinking about it. I was like, I guess it could be a cool, like if I said something and then they had to say it, like then it would give me this moment of like interaction. And someone told me about like Pat Green and how, and I've never been to a Pat Green show, but they told me about how he interacts with crowds and he would like call out one person. And when you call out one person, everyone is like, it like draws attention to them. And I was like, that could maybe be a way to like have this moment with the crowd. So I started trying it out. And what I realized really quick was when you're drinking, you can't talk. And so it's really, everyone's going to know my secret now. It's out into the world. But sips is and also I was trying to get comfortable with like transitions. And there's always that awkward, here, let me put my capo on. Mm-hmm. When you're starting out and you don't know what to say. But sips helped me like, hey, end of song, 1, 2, 3, we're done. Sips.
Yeah, everyone drinks their
everyone
booze,
says
yeah.
Sips and the capo's on and we're moving to the next song. Or like, you know, it was helping me. And now it's kind of morphed into this like, it's actually this very strategic, like by the end of the show, I always, if you come to a Keller Cox show, I'm like, all right, I'm not going to say it this time, y'all say it. And however I can gauge at the end of the show, do I got 75%? Do I have 100% of the room? And if they yell it back to me, then it's like, all right, I did my job. I've got the crowd where I want them. That's awesome. But yeah, that's the game of sips. And I'd never want it to be like a crutch, you know, like like, oh, sips, and I'm saying it between every song. Like, my goal one
it
day
can't
is...
be that way. I've seen... I'm not going to call anyone out, but I've seen artists that have a thing. They overdo it, you know?
Right.
It's usually younger folks.
My, yeah,
are
my
you
goal...
talking Jameson with a finger?
No. J-Mo, dude? No.
We love you, J-Mo.
No. No, my goal, though, is to... Yeah, like the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. Like, his thank you notes, you know? He has, like, thank you notes. I don't know if y'all watch the Tonight Show. There's this thing, this bit he does. It's called Thank You Notes. And it's on Friday night every time. And everyone knows it's coming. But he always is like, hey, would y'all mind if I write some thank you? And everyone's like, ah, oh, you know, like, goes crazy. And one day you get to the point where, you know, you're selling out shows and stuff. Like, all right, don't introduce it until song, like, 7 or 8, you know? And then it still creates this special moment. And you don't have to introduce it at song. But where I'm at in my career right now, it's, like, song number 2. Because I've got... to get something to get the crowd on my page early, especially as the opener, you know?
Yeah.
Because as the opener, you're the one thing in the way of the headliner. And I know that going on stage, you know? And so that's why we play Sips 2 songs in, because rather than playing a cover, let me play a drinking game. So I still have them on my page, and hopefully they're starting to listen to what I'm trying to share with them.
And even if they're kind of zoned out, but other people aren't, they're like, what are they? Oh, they're doing something. Let's pay attention.
Right. And then I'll start to introduce another morph as the game has progressed. Yeah. Like, I'll say, like, okay, I'm not the only one that can say it. You know, you can say it to the person standing. And so then someone, if they're on with me, they'll be like, Sips! And there's and then it's like, as soon as if someone yells it during that part of the bit, then I'm like, I've got this.
Yeah.
The crowd's they're on my page.
It. Yeah, yeah. And you got merch with it too. It says like,
yeah,
like a,
yeah. I
a
played beer. I played Sips with Keller Cox.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So
all right, cool. That's fun.
Yeah. Marketing.
Speaking
you know,
of merch,
trademarked.
Look at these beautiful hats we have.
I know.
On.
I'm the only. I should have worn one.
No, this is an OG one. This is from the last podcast.
Yeah,
your dad's a very fan. Original one. That's
and this one's Richardson and Pukwa, which I really love these hats. As a merch guy, I appreciate great merch, and this is great merch.
Thanks.
Tell us about you had some deal with them recently that was just I thought it was so cool. And we talked about it on the boat, the Cappy Cruise.
With what?
Richardson Sutherland.
Oh, yes. Okay, I get this email the other day, and it's from Richardson Southern, you know, and they're like, hey, we'd like, there's this program that we're doing with Bella Canvas, and basically it's like, it's anywhere from like 300 to 500 like t-shirts that we want to just gift you. And I was like read it, and I was like, what? Like free t-shirts, like to sell?
A scam or something? Or?
Well, not, yeah, I was just like, and they're like, hey, you want to meet? And I was like, yeah. And they're like, all right, how's Monday work? I'm like, well, I live in Texas, like, but I'll be in town this weekend. I was playing something at the listening room. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'll be in town. They're like, okay, we'll come to your show. And you know, I've met Scott before, no Tanner, Cologne. And I was like when I get to the show and I quickly put together, it was Terry. And I was like, I had heard so much. It's like the legend, you know,
the guy.
Yeah. And he like came to my show and was like, so I quickly like, you know, you read like via email, you're like, and you're busy and you're just like, okay, cool. We'll see you on Saturday. And I was like, wait a second. I think I know what's happening. And he's like, all right, let's go to lunch after. And he starts explaining to me this program they're doing with Bella Canvas. And it's this program to help get artists like on their feet, like that are in the stage of like, they're buying the t-shirts and selling just enough t-shirts to put gas in the tank and maybe buy more t-shirts to sell more t-shirts and put, and it's this constant cycle that I've been in for the last year and a half of just like, all right, do you put money in the tank, you know, or do you put money into a box that you hope to sell to put money, you know, that whole lingo.
Sure.
And I was like, that's exactly where I'm at. And he's like, well, you're our guy. We want to help you out. So basically, they're like gifting me these t-shirts with that will have like a Bella Canvas logo that'll help like, you know, branding for Bella Canvas to you know, promote their t-shirt.
Yeah.
But it's going to, you know, help me have this cash flow that will help me get over that hump, and then we'll just, you know, And the goal is like that one day we just keep working together. And it's, I'm literally, it was like the biggest thing that I had like was kind of stressed about this year with being on tour is like, how in the world am I going to keep the merch going to where I can keep getting down the road? Outrageous, dude. I feel like just like, you don't make it up. I called Sarah after and I was like, you will not believe. Like, and he took us to this awesome burger place. We had like the best bison burgers ever. Oh, and he's great. Like the coolest dude in the world. Like just the most genuine.
Oh,
like
he's awesome.
Like, yeah.
And I haven't met him, but I met, of course, Scott and I met Tanner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so anyways, I was just blown away with just like their generosity and also like all of his stories of like just, you know, knocking on the door of like Alabama and like, you know, his stories about Waylon, like just all the OGs. Like he is the dude. It was cool. That's he's like my cool. Uber driver for the day. That's he like drove us around town and drove us to lunch. And I was like, this is freaking
your
awesome.
Chauffeur.
Yeah.
That's how you do it. you know, business people.
Be like good that. People.
Yeah.
Take care of the people that you can. Specifically like that. Like, he probably, of course, paid some of that, like, with putting the designs on him, right? But
right.
Bella is taking care of people, too. But it's good yeah. to see businesses not just be always greedy.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, try to give back as much here. As you can.
Right. And then when yeah. you, like, when you get, like, it's making, like, when I, you know, one day I'm in the position to help someone out, it makes yeah. you want to help them out too, you know, like,
yep.
like, you know, another thing, like Cleto sold me Flatland's original trailer. That's the trailer that we use. It's like a 5x10 cover trailer. And you know, I hope to one day, I'm looking for the next artist that, you know, one day I get to be like, hey, here's this trailer. You know, I'll probably sell it for like $100 because like it was the price has just, you know, continued to get cheaper and cheaper with all of its usage. But it's just that idea of like helping someone out and then you turning around and helping each other out, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of like with Cleto and the song, the Damn Good Friend song.
Damn, yeah.
That's a damn good transition.
Yeah. yeah.
Well, I mean, seriously though, because you think like, so their album, Humble Folks, they had William Clark Green sing on their album and Cleto mm-hmm. turned around and said yes to singing on mine. You know, it's just that whole concept of like, let's
give
help.
Back.
Yep,
yeah.
give him back.
Dude, this music.
I miss College Station.
Yeah, them boys are good to me. But it is literally about putting the right things into the world, right? Like putting the positive vibes into the world. And if you do that, it comes back. And it doesn't even have to, you don't have to try to get it back. It just comes back. The more positive energy and the more positive things you put out there, the more it comes back to you. Good people help good people, you know? Yeah.
I feel like that's my entire music story with Make Wake and you guys. I mean, even Raised Rowdy, dude. I mean, y'all have been the nicest ever. I'm serious. Y'all are awesome. I mean, I feel honored to be, like, I remember the first time I got asked to be on the pod and I was like, what in the world, dude? I get to be on the Raised Rowdy podcast.
The world acclaimed, you know.
Yeah. But y'all, I feel like I feel so blessed to be just a part of all these different organizations that are just awesome, you know?
Man, we are blessed to be a part of it too. I mean, Kurt's had cool jobs his whole life, but like,
yeah,
this thing
Kurt's
is
never had one bad job.
Yeah. Well,
that's,
he's had
true,
some.
But yeah.
yeah, it's been years. Yeah. But it's honestly for me, like coming from the world I came from, it's like just getting to be a part of this world's a blessing, you know? So
the
if
music
you could,
world, you mean?
The music world, yeah. Just.
Well, this world,
the whole world too, yeah. But just to get to be like a small piece of this puzzle is amazing, and just to get to interact with amazing artists and talented people in every way, shape, or form all around the industry has been just such a blessing for me. And I know you feel like that too, you know. And it's like, it's great to see. Sometimes when people are in town too long, or if they're in the industry too long, they get like they lose a little bit of that glimmer. Mm-hmm. So like, it's good to see that. People that still have it, it makes it come back to you.
Yeah,
also.
Talk to me in 5 years. And I'll
yeah,
just,
but
no,
that's how
kidding.
It works. But then you'll have the
change.
Next Keller.
No, I'm just kidding.
The next Keller that you get to give that trailer to that'll bring it back for you too,
right.
even more.
Right,
you
no,
know?
100%.
That's how it works.
Yeah, I was driving into town last night, like late, you know. It's like, mm-hmm. luckily I gained an hour back from driving from Chattanooga, you know. But I was like, wow, I'm driving into Nashville and I'm doing, it was this moment, you know. I was just like, I'm doing the freaking thing, you know. And it just felt good. It felt mm-hmm. good to just be a part of it and just get to be, you know, like literally living the dream.
Yeah.
And we're on the ride. It might still be I'm in the line, you know, but it feels like the road, like we're going on the up, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're definitely, they're like asking you like how many people are in your party so that you can get on the.
Right, dude. Yeah. It's like the guy's teasing, you know? Yeah. Oh, sorry. You're going to have to do the next one.
Yeah.
You're so close.
Yeah. I mean, it's great. So tell us about this tour. So you're out with the Castellos.
Yes. Incredibly. I remember getting the call from Dylan and I was like, what? Because I had, you know, knew that they had signed, or not signed, Make Wake doesn't sign. We just do the old handshake.
Yeah.
I knew that they were working with Cappy and I was like, what? Like going, like, I remember seeing the email of like all the different towns and it was like next week we're going all the way to like Michigan. Like I've never been that far north, like let alone been there, but also get to play a show there. And the tour has been awesome, dude. We've done like maybe 5 shows at this point, or maybe 6 now. They're just such a good group. They're so genuine. Their show's so fun. And it's just like, I feel like I get to be a part of something. I'm like, how did I get to be a part of this? Because like they sold, like they're selling out venues. Like they sold like 450 tickets last night and it's like their first time playing in the town, you know, and they're selling tickets like crazy. And so it's just been so fun. And to be acoustic has been just a kind of an eye-opening experience, because no bells and whistles, no boys to like hang out with before, you know, I'm like fist bumping myself, like, here we go, let's do it. Let's do it.
All right, come on, 3, 1, 2.
Yeah, exactly, dude. That's how it feels. And I, you know, to master that, I feel like I can do anything. You know, I feel like my confidence has grown. The first couple shows were like, I don't know.
Are you scared?
Yes, I was scared, dude. Are you freaking kidding me? I remember my first acoustic one I did just to try and do it was opening in College Station for Eli Young Band. And it was like 1,500 people, and I was terrified. Like, I had been playing with a band for a year at that point, and I was like, I need to do this to like grow, you know, as an artist. And I'm glad I did that one, because that made these ones a little bit more easy, like, you know.
For sure, yeah.
But it's not easy getting up there and just being by yourself and like literally having nothing to hide behind, you know. But it's been awesome.
Yeah, I mean, they should like tell the fiddle player to get up there and jam with you a little bit or something.
Well, luckily, starting next week, I'm going to bring a guitar player. So I did these first 2 weeks just, you know, all of my band, they have like real jobs, you know, like pretty much minus our drummer. Yeah. He's the only other full-time musician. And so they like can't get off work just to come with me. And so I was like, all right, let me take the first 2 weekends, get my confidence up, and then start bringing out the boys. Mm-hmm. So it's been awesome, though.
Dude, I'm proud of you, man. That's cool.
It's like watching history be made beyond this tour. I'm serious. I think the Castellos are just going to, they're going to sell out arenas one day.
They're great. All right. Love to hear that.
Heard it here first. Yeah. Really, though, it's a cool show, and it's just like insane to be a part of.
The first time I got to see them was the show Kurt took me to at the Ryman, the lottery show. That was sick.
Yeah. We Luke did a lotto ticket, like, you know, scratch-off ticket from When It Rains, It Pours. And so all the winners got a private Luke Combs concert, and they opened.
That's
and
cool.
Then I think they all won like 10 grand or something. Yeah. And then one of them won like 250 grand or something.
I think it was 500 grand.
Oh, was it? $500,000. Wow. And this, I got a photo of it.
That's insane.
This guy came on stage and all these balloons dropped, and he was this guy from Dallas. So he had a cowboy hat on and everything and the pressed jeans. And I forget what he's like. It looks like, what do you do with the money? He's like, I'm telling anyone shit.
Like, checks right, out. Yeah. No, it's but they were great. It's dang, cool, like seeing, you know, of course they're all sisters, and getting to see them like interact with each other on stage too is like, and their vibe is very like calm and, you know, like
meek,
sweet,
mild
and,
kind of a thing.
Yeah, and nice, you know.
Yeah, I think the show is just gonna continue, even the, like in the first like five or 2 weekends, like the show is just growing and like elevating, and it's awesome, dude.
Yeah.
Really cool stuff.
What do you think like the overlap of like fans, the Keller Cox fans and Castellos fans, like, is there a strong overlap there?
I wouldn't say super strong, you know, just because like the difference in like where I'm at and trying to do my Texas thing. But like, even like last night, like at the merch booth, they were like, hey, we came to see you. And I was like, that was like the first time on the tour. And I was like, wow, y'all like literally made my entire week.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And they come to the show and they're like, hey, we didn't know who they were, but we wanted to see you. That's, and I was like, cool. Like, so that's happened a couple. Now it's not like, it's few and far between.
Still though.
When it happens though, you know, it's like, man, this is awesome. You know, like like those are the moments where I'm like, wow, this is crazy.
Dopamine level up.
Yes. Yeah, for dude. Sure. Okay. Can we talk about dopamine?
Yeah.
I'm convinced that everyone in this industry has a dopamine addiction.
Well, everyone in the world has a dopamine
addiction.
Well,
yes, but specifically in the music industry. Everyone in the world, for sure, because this thing is the enemy.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, dude. But I mean, just like, because how many likes did I get? How many views did I get?
Yeah.
And should then, I post again today?
Dude,
Should I not post? I kept scrolling all day long. You know, we were talking about this earlier. Save for the pod.
Yeah. And, but also, it's like, when, you know, it's like I'll play a stadium show with Luke and it's 60,000 people and they're going crazy. And then you get off stage and then you just like sit there and you're like, well, shit.
This is regular life.
This is just regular. I'm like, then it's like, that's where it's like, well, maybe I'll try to make myself feel good with this beer, you know? Then it's like, hey, be careful with that, you know? Because that's when it's like you can't feel that good all the time. That's trouble time. You know,
I remember when you were talking about the stage that moved that you guys had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, on the 360 tour.
Yeah. And I remember. You should probably tell it because
I don't know what story you're telling.
You're like every time you're in front of someone and they're going wild the entire time. So like everybody's having the most fun when you're directly in front of them and you're like circling. So it's like the crowd's going the most nuts the whole time. I was like, that sounds insane. So amazing.
Yeah. So usually like a stage, it's like, you know, this, it's at one end of the arena and everyone's on the other side, but we were able to sell more tickets by putting the stage in the middle. And so on the top, there was like a spinning mini stage. That's like when I sat and played steel guitar, it just kind of spun. But then like when I'm like playing electric guitar, I'm running around and there's, you know, four sides of the stage. So Luke's on one and he's interacting, but there's three other ones. So it's like you have to go entertain these people.
And you're constantly, you're like, they're not the same people the whole night because you're like, you're running around, right? Like,
right. Yeah.
When so you're it's playing like, a regular show, that's just, okay, they're right there in front exactly. of you the whole time.
So I'm like, I'm going to go over here and make goofy faces at these people, you know, or whatever, or throw picks or whatever I do. Probably headbang. So beer never broke my heart or whatever. But so it's like kind of a challenge and it's fun. And yeah. because usually it's like, when you're on stage, there's no one behind you. But now it's like there's people behind you. So it's like if you're like scratching your ass or something, there's a, you know, a quarter of arenas there seeing it, you know?
Yep.
Dopamine levels out yeah. the roof.
Oh, yeah. For check this out.
Well, I remember like I, of course, I'm not an artist, so I don't have like the stage thing happen a lot. But I was at Country Concert, that festival I've been going to for a while. And Muscadine, we were there. Yeah. This little tattoo baby right here. And, I was there and Muscadine was like, well, hey, like this radio guy doesn't even know who we are. Like, would you be down to announce us? And it was like the side stage. So it's like probably 7,000 people. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I've emceed a bunch of events before. Like, this should be fine. And I like have this thing worked up in my head. Like, I have like my thing I'm going to say, you know? And then I get out there and they turn the, I'm like, what's up? And they turn the lights on and I see 7,000 people and I'm just like, like my brain shuts off and I said all of the things I wanted to say but not in the right order. They made sense in the order they were in, but it wasn't exactly how I thought it out. But I just like also felt that like thing in
oh dude your chest. Yeah, yeah, it's just like
fight or flight
or yeah. And I was like, whoa. And that was like honestly probably since sports kind of like one of the first times I've had that. I've had moments that I'm just like shaking my head, but that was like the adrenaline kicked in, yeah. You know? It was awesome. Dude,
yeah, yeah.
I mean, I've definitely had moments like that. The first time we played Nissan was for CMA Fest. And okay, it's like, all right, guys, we're about to go out. And I'm like, do I know how to play in front of 60,000 people? I go, well, I'm going to fucking find out right now. Turns out, I, you know, wasn't my best show ever, but I was, my hands
yeah, what
were,
was the, well, yeah, was it like,
my hands were a little shaky. Or like the first time I played the Opry, I was playing steel guitar and like, I was watching my bar like kind of just move because my hands were shaking, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? But then you just got to jump right in and just do it. You know, like a warrior, like
yeah, exactly.
I would say. Like
into
an
the cold water.
Yeah, yeah, jump into the shower.
Yeah. Crazy. So give us a little example of how you introed Muscadine, can you?
Oh, I mean, I would love to.
Let's get ready to rumble.
I mean, kind of. I was, so like the guy announced me and said that my name was Nick and I'm from Rage Rowdy. We helped put on the camper party.
Uh-huh.
And then I was just jumped up, like just hyped up the crowd first. And then I just announced, I was like, Muscadine Bloodline all the way from, I forget the town, but Alabama. You know, I was like, good friends of the Rage Rowdy family and some of the baddest ass musicians you're going to find. True. One of the largest independent bands in country music and here to perform for you tonight, something like that. But it was like, I had it like in my head, the order I was going to say those things. I had like five things I wanted to say.
And it was just like ping pong.
And like it was that, like yeah. this, that. Dude. Okay, back to this. I didn't say that. All right, this. And that's, but yeah. it, when you heard it back, it sounded fine. You
right.
know?
That's how I feel just like talking head. Between songs mm-hmm. of just the, like, you know, you got to know like what you're going to say and you can't like, you just got to tell the story. You
yeah.
know? It's easy to like, oh, I'm going to say exactly this. Well, no, you just have to have like 3 points and then tell the story or whatever.
Yeah.
Just say, fuck it. Do it live.
Yeah.
Do it live.
You know, what's interesting is band and introing a band.
Yeah.
I noticed like the only touring act that has an intro is Kojo. Like Jackson intros them. And it's just been, Cody just likes it because they had like radio people who didn't know anything about him, you yeah. know? And so it's like, and Kojo's like, no, screw that. Jackson, go intro us. And he's like, what do I say? He's like, just go do it. And so he's been doing it every show.
Like they have someone introduce the show every
time.
Yeah,
his now manager does it, yeah.
No way.
Yeah. He goes, you know, all the way from Texas, you know, Warner recording artist Cody Johnson.
Yeah. That's cool.
No, he says it way cooler than that. Don't get me wrong. He does it with
that voice inflection and everything.
Yeah. All the way from Texas, Cody.
But, like, Brill did that when he was on the road with Trey. So he was, like, tour managing. But, like, you know, he's an MC.
I wish Matt could just wake me up every morning. Yeah. Like, my alarm would be like, good morning, Keller Cox.
Hey, dude, what's up, dude? Literally,
dude, Matt could take any sentence and turn it, like, and say it, and it would just be gold. Watching him at an event, MC an event, is outrageous.
Are we talking about the same Matt Burrell?
No, he is. He's built to be on a mic.
Yeah. Yes, literally, dude.
It's funny,
outrageous.
Too, because, like, we were hosting two events a month. And then now we're not doing that. We're hosting a lot of events a month. So, like, I remember, like, talking to Kurt and then talking to Matt. And, like, we were like, hey, like, you can't say the same thing every time. You know, it's the same thing as, like, if you're touring, right? You, between each song, you're not going to say the same thing.
Yeah, you're
right?
Not going to do sips every song.
Yeah, nope. Right? You have that in your wheelhouse, but you also have other things.
Right,
you know?
Tell the story one time. Yeah.
Yeah,
switch it back and forth.
So, we were talking about that and, like, and now watching Matt work on that's super cool. So like watching him like hit the stage and have like a bunch of things in his tool belt.
And knowing when to use one and when not to use the other.
Exactly.
Yeah, cool.
And he still has the stuff that he's always historically said, but now he's building a bigger tool belt. So it's like, it's fun to watch him do that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like just because we are hosting, you know, like 10 to 13 events every month here in Nashville. Plus we're hoping to be on stage doing some stuff kind of like what I do with Muscadine for that show,
right,
with some of these festivals that we're helping be partners with, and even more in the future, you know, like help getting the crowd pumped up and like figuring out what works.
That's,
you know,
cool.
What doesn't.
All right, here's a question.
Yeah.
What is, like, because you have a tool belt for sure with music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with music.
You have a tool belt with podcasting. And what's like the most recent tool that you've put in the belt?
Mine is part of the same thing I'm talking about with Matt, where it's like trying to be a little bit of different every time I'm hitting stage, but still having some of the things where I say like for Rowdy on the Row, I'm like, don't go anywhere unless it's to the bar. Like that's one of my taglines, right?
But trademarked. Like,
yeah, not, but yeah, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then also like trying to figure out what the next thing is, because again, like, I don't want to say that at every single event we have.
Right,
forever,
right, right.
You know, like it's cool, but it's not that cool. You know, like, and you can, if you say it once every time, it's fine. But if you say it like 10 times, it's different.
Kurt, what's something you do at live shows now that you didn't do when you were first touring with Luke, or even touring in general?
Hopefully playing tune. I don't know.
I mean, like, do you like try to like do something with the crowd? Like, you know, I'm like, you said, like, go make face. Like, what's something that you've added to your, like, I feel like you have your own little experience, you know, being
it's kind of funny, like we don't have like any like set things that we do, like choreography or stuff,
right?
Like Luke's not like, hey, I want everyone to do this part of the stage then or whatever. We just all have been playing together for so long that we just, things just kind of happen organically,
right? Right.
But then sometimes something cool will happen and it'll be like, dude, that was cool. And so then we just like, and it just changes over the course of the tour,
right, yeah,
just ebbs and flows. And it's like, okay, well, you know, at the beginning of Cold As You, it's like, and so like one time I jumped, and or Matt jumped or something. So then we started jumping at the same time, but then it was like, then that switched. We started doing that on Beer, and then so then it was this moment where we were seeing who could jump the highest, and the photos look sick because Bergman gets down there with the wide angle
lens. Looks like you're jumping like 15 feet in the air.
And then like I saw a video of me doing it recently and I go, oh my God, dude, I have no ups at all.
Gotta get, yeah.
Yeah, and Colby and I, the other day, we were in my house and we were seeing who could jump the highest. And he's like, I'm not an athlete, so you'll beat me. And he smoked me. I'm like, I can't jump high at all.
Do we need to get one of those things where you slap it?
Dude,
you know?
I'm so bad at it. I'm like, I need to learn. I need to get like.
You just got
to
do a bunch of squats, bro.
Yeah, I think there's. I got to do more squats, I guess. I don't know. But that's like one thing, you know.
Yeah, that's cool.
And a lot of times, like, I wear a bandana and that we made together.
Yeah. And, the Kurt bandana.
So I'll throw that out in the crowd. It's just kind of fun.
Yeah, it's cool to have like little things that are like your. Like, oh, that was fun. Let's do that again. Or let's do it like more. Like, or then you realize, okay, let's do it less.
Yeah. One thing I do also now that my brain's going is when I hand the set list out, I always fold it into an airplane and like send it out.
Yeah, see, you know? I think that's so unique to you, and it's a tool in your tool belt.
There you go.
Yeah.
What about you?
Me? I see. I turned it on y'all, and y'all are like, "Oh, I don't know." And now I'm the one that's like, "Oh, I don't know."
Well, we already talked about sips for like an hour.
Yeah, that's a tool. It's we're like an hour in now. I'm just kidding. I feel like a tool in my tool belt is if someone in the crowd like I try to have a moment with someone. Like the other, we were opening for Flatland in Corpus Christi, and this guy like realized I was drinking water, and he holds his Miller Lite up. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, it was this like decision. Do you take? And I was like, yep, take the beer. I took the beer. But like stuff like that, of just like when someone like wants an interaction, like go for it. Yeah. Whatever your plan was, throw the plan out the window. That's a moment that wasn't planned for. But just to be more flexible, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then speaking of like dopamine and stuff, I try to like focus on my breathing before the show. Cause if I get, you know, especially being the tour manager, the merch guy, all this, like your driver, mind is yeah. driver.
Yeah.
Try to have a moment to settle down before. That's that's not for anyone else. That's more of just for me. But if I don't do that, then it's kind of hard to be in the moment on stage. You're kind of coming in hot, you know?
I'm going to tell just a quick story. Rock the South 2021.
Yeah.
It was raining all day, and Nick was in the crowd, mm-hmm. and I walked, Tyler and I, we have like a dual guitar solo and guitar minis, and we walked down to the edge of the catwalk or whatever, thrust,
yep.
and I thought I would be cool, and all these people are screaming, and I played the solo, and everything was great, and this girl like was like cheering like this. I grabbed her drink, and I just like started drinking from it. And I bent down and handed it to her. And when I turned around, I slipped and fell on my ass. And I didn't get hurt except for my ego, which was bruised. But Nick was filming. Yeah. And I watched myself in the video. I look like such a dumbass. But of course, I posted online and it got like, I posted on TikTok. It got like 250,000 views. It's like my most viewed TikTok.
People love watching other people fail.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
but it was like a funny fail. Sure.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure.
It's not like a sad fail.
Yeah, no, it's a good fail.
Yeah. True. But we were talking about some fails earlier today while we were... Keller and I went for a run today.
You were good boys.
Yeah. Yes. Well...
How much did we run? Four?
4 miles. 4.1.
Yeah, while you guys were running, FaceTiming me, I was about to eat at Nadine's. God, it was so good, though.
We should get lunch after this.
Yeah. Well, it would be dinner, but yeah.
But hey, that's my schedule. Yeah, being on the road. This is perfect.
We'll go to Cracker Barrel.
Yeah. Get that breakfast in.
Exactly, dude.
All right. Well, let's pivot slightly. I want to get back to talking about your music and what's coming out. So you have a show in Nashville at the Listening Room. Is that true or false?
I have one coming up.
Yeah.
No, at the Basement.
Basement.
OG Basement?
OG Basement.
Full band?
The band is flying in.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Put it on the Visa overhead.
All right. Got it.
But the boys are coming in, which is awesome. Release show.
What's the date?
It is March 23rd. The album, that's a Saturday. The album comes out on Friday.
So the album comes out
and then
22nd.
22nd is the album. It's mm-hmm. called Good Again, Amen.
Okay.
And dude, I'm stoked. Can I talk about the album for a second?
Yeah.
Please.
Okay. Dude, I'm so stoked. It's a year and 4 months since we started working on it. So lots of time to like think about how I want to present it, you know, and artwork and all this stuff. And the title track, the words are like, what happened to the good guys? What happened to the cowboys? And I was thinking about like, you know, the good guys, and the whole theme of this album is like me looking at the world. There was one day I was scrolling too much on social media.
Yeah.
As we all do. And it seemed like the bad guys were winning. And I was like, man, like I had this moment of just like, I remember growing up and Luke Skywalker always won. Mm-hmm. Indiana Jones always won. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking of like, okay, John Wayne was one of those dudes. Mm-hmm. And so as I'm putting together this album, and I realized quickly that Good Again, Amen was the you know, it was rising to the top of the songs that were just, you know, that it almost did the best job of kind of summarizing this entire track list. And I was like, I'm going to be the John Wayne of this album. So the album artwork is me as like this, like, I don't wear a cowboy hat all the time, mm-hmm. but I'm wearing like my great grandfather's cowboy hat. It's like over 100 years old.
Wow. That's cool.
And, just like, you know, it's me as John Wayne. So I'm that's the theme of this album is old school. It's like hand painted, like, you know, artwork, Scott Ferris from Lubbock that recorded the out. He was my producer. He like did the art, the hand painting and stuff. And
oh, cool.
Him and his daughter did it. And it's super awesome. But yeah, I'm excited. The track listing is the most unique I've ever like dove into, like, you know, because you want it to tell a story all the way through. But have y'all ever heard of like what a chiasm is?
No.
Okay.
That was made up.
It's not. It's an old way of like telling stories. A lot of it's in the Bible. I think there's some old like the Odyssey or the old like books like the Iliad or stuff like that have the chiasms in it. Don't quote me on it, but there's older books that have them in it. Yeah, write it down. But anyways, the album. So the first track and the chiasm, it means like there's like symmetry in the way like a story's told. It'd be like, okay, Kurt and I, we went for a run today. And then we ate food, and then we podcasted, and then we ate more food, and then we went for a run. So it's this like V shape, like the first point and the last point match, and it's to put across or to tell a point like more clearly. You know, it's like, so the middle point's the most important point of this chiasm structure. Search it up. It's crazy. Chiastic, I think is how they say it, chiastic structure. But the album is a chiasm. So songs 1 and 11, there's an odd number, so the middle one stands out. But it's 1 and 11 mirror each other, 2 and 10. 3 and 9 all the way to the middle. And I'm just super stoked for the way it all worked out. Like songs 1, 11, and 6 are all in like the same key. And you'd think that 6 is the title track, but it's not. But 6 has like the most important point of the album in it. So it's just this crazy, like I've had all this time to think about how I want to present it. And I'm just super stoked for people to live with it. Cause you could technically listen to it in like 2 different ways. You could listen to it all the way through, but you could try and listen to it like 1, 11, 2, like kind of all the way to the middle. But yeah, it's good again. Amen.
That's awesome. Man.
March 22nd.
I love hearing people talk about how they set their albums up. Like when we had Josh on, Uncle Josh, as you call him.
Yeah, Uncle Josh.
He was very like thoughtful with how he did that.
Yeah.
And I just hope that that's not lost in the age of streaming and stuff.
Yeah, so. Singles. And that was another way is I wanted to be able to tell a story that all right, if you're not going to listen to my whole album, well, here's one other reason to maybe try and listen to it all the way through. Like, this was thought out. You know, I want to make, like, a shirt that says, I believe in albums, you know?
Yeah.
Because I always say, like, when you listen to something A to Z all the way through, you're gonna experience it in a way that it was meant to be experienced, you know? I try to listen to a work of art, like, as a listener, I'll try to press play and listen all the way through. Because you'll find the deep track, like, the deep cuts that weren't the singles, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I did that with like Ed Sheeran's Subtract album and love some of the songs off there. Like The Wilder Blues new record is crazy. Brent Cott, like all of these albums that I've listened to all the way through, you find the best ones, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I love that too. Like I love hearing that process as well because stuff that sometimes like you don't get to hear or you don't think about, right? How you're laying out that track list and what those songs pair with each other and how they mean something in the mix, right? I love that. I think it's super cool.
So yeah, whoever's listening to this, I challenge you to listen.
So March 22nd, yep. We're going to listen to the album front to back for sure.
And then 1, 11, 6.
You don't have to listen to it twice. But whatever, yeah. I think front to back is a good way to do
yeah.
it.
Have you posted about this theory or told
not
people
yet.
About
I
it?
Probably should soon.
Well,
I need to make a graphic for that.
I think you should do like a little video for when the song drops too, like kind of explaining it.
No, I think, yeah.
I think
that would
be cool.
I'm excited. I'm excited to get to tell the story. It's kind of been something that's been in my back pocket, you know?
Yeah.
And as we get to the date, which is in 2 weeks, which is crazy, and we're on tour, and it's like, I'm going to look up and I'm going to be on stage at the basement and be like, well, try to make a post about that. No, I'll be
well,
on top of the
posting
game.
You can pull a clip from this podcast.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah. I'm
and
stoked.
And it'll look
though.
Beautiful in this new studio.
Yes. Hey, all right.
Look how
ding.
Good Keller looks.
Bow, 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 bow.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, dude, I'm stoked for it. It's my best work yet, and it explains where I've been and where I'm at. I think it still explains a little bit of where I'm at right now. So
love it, man. That. So we got an album coming out. We got an album release show. You're on tour with the Castellos. What else are we missing here? Anything else you want to shout out before we dip out?
Been a homeowner, which has been fun.
Ooh.
Congrats to you and Sarah. We love Sarah very much.
We bought our first house.
That's awesome.
Which is insane. Lots of projects. Sarah's gardens. Starting a garden right now.
Yep.
I'm helping with all like the building stuff, but she is like the green thumb for sure. I like the other day we're like potting some stuff and I'm like, how did you, she's like, oh, this one's going to grow to this height. And then we've got to, I was like, how do you know this? She's like, I did my research. She's the best.
Google University.
We need to have Sarah on a podcast.
Sarah, we'll bring her on the third episode.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Husband and wife pod. That would be interesting, dude.
Well, hear her story of how music works, you know?
You'd realize how much of a goofball I am.
I think we all know.
Yeah. We're aware.
Sarah is the
brains.
We're
all goofballs, though.
Literally true.
But yeah, dude, that's been fun having a house and, you know, hope to be up here in Nashville one day, but it's going to hold it down in Texas for a while.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that, man.
Dude, love it. Love me some Texas.
Sometimes distance makes the heart grow fonder, too. Don't forget that.
Oh, yeah. And I'm up here once. I mean, I'll be here on I'm going back to Texas, and I'll be here on Tuesday. So
Yeah.
Can't stay away for too long.
Any other Texas kids that you've heard or saw recently or anything that people should keep an eye out for? Because I know, like, the Texas scene's different.
Dude, yeah, the Texas scene is ever, you know, changing and growing. I'm trying to think. There's one that's in my class that I'm a huge fan of.
Mm-hmm.
Palmer Anthony.
Have y'all heard of Palmer? We love Palmer.
Yeah, Palmer is amazing. Me, him, and Jacob Stelly wrote together the other day, which was wild. Sick. Having three writers in the room, like, or three like singer-songwriters, like, or, you know, artists in the room. That's what I meant. That's the word.
Yeah.
This thing is in front of me and it freaks me out, dude.
It's fine.
Just kidding.
Don't be scared.
No, but having three artists in the room, it's like that whole, like, you know, we wrote a great song. And we get to the end of it, and they're like, all right, who wants to sing it? And they point to me, and I was like, oh, really? Cool. Two of your peers, and I'm going to get to sing the work tape. Thanks a lot while y'all
well,
sit there.
Who's going to cut it is the question.
I don't know. It's a great song. I don't know who will cut it, though. I'll probably just sit there in the ether and never be. No. But I think
cut it
I'm
three ways.
Huge fans of what they're doing. Always looking out for, like, who's coming up. But, yeah, those are the people that came to mind first. So.
Hell, yeah. Well, appreciate you coming on, man.
Yeah.
Dude, yeah, this has been awesome.
Say your social stuff just in case.
Keller T. Cox.
Yeah.
On all social platforms.
Like Booker T. Washington, but different.
Exactly. T is for Thomas.
Really?
Yep.
There you go.
So there you go. But yeah,
Keller, it is a blessing having you in the podcast room, but it's even more of a blessing having you in our family, man. We love you, dude.
Dude, love you too, man. This has been so fun.
Yeah.
Love all y'all.
Much
all right.
Love.
Well, I'm Nikki T.
I'm Kurt Ozon.
And we will see you in the front row.